Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Staring down that long and winding road, I felt like I could never start again. Flipping through the pages of my broken life, just remembering when. Before I was yours, I just stumbled through my feeble lies. But now you bring me all I could ask for, yeah. Give me all that I need, and baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Looking up that mountain top, I said, how do we begin to climb? Wishing I could speed right through to all the joy, just manipulate time. But now I am yours, so I'll stop wandering through those feeble lies, cause now you bring me all I could ask for. All that I need, and baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe.
I guess I'll start to believe.
And though my doubts close in, I know that you'll there, I won't despair, my dream coming true. Who knew? Baby, it's you. And though I falter, I lose control, your soul pulls me through. Baby, it's you. You know just what to do. You bring me all I could ask for, yeah. Give me all that I need. And baby, you gather the pieces. I guess I'll start to believe.
Good morning and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the song that we had to play, because
slight technical difficulties, but those are in the past, so we will move forward.
Technology. So that's the fun that we deal with.
Hey, it's a live show.
It is a live show, you know. Yeah. So
you know what? Knock on wood, things could be so much worse. We've had a really good run being a live show, I think.
Yeah, we actually have been pretty lucky for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, you get the odd occasional glitch, but mm-hmm. you know, it's been okay. It's been all right.
Yeah.
So we're hoping today goes okay. the weather has finally affected things at the old Lombardo homestead. So we've got contractors supposed to be calling us after the show and getting some things sorted out. I don't want to go into it, but it's just very inconvenient.
Yeah.
And for those of us who know us, it also affects the bathroom that we just had remodeled 2 years ago.
Right.
So that's involving the issue, and it sucks. You know, so thank God for homeowners insurance.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, what you gonna do?
Well, today we're honored to be speaking with a wonderful gentleman from the Great White North. That's your contribution to that, the Great White North.
Hey, you know what? I'm a fan of Strange Brew, and I'm a fan of Bob and Doug McKenzie. So if they refer to it as the Great White North, I can refer to it as the Great White North.
Okay.
And so did Rush.
Okay. So he's an advocate for survivors of childhood sexual abuse, as well as suicide intervention. He's going to discuss various programs he's involved with. So please welcome to the show the Unforgiven Warrior, Stuart Thompson.
Thank you ever so much, Rebecca and Joe. Really grateful being on your show. Thank you for bringing me here, because this is such a, you know, such a nasty topic to begin with. And any chance I get to talk about it, and also my healing journey to show others that, one, they're not alone, and one, you can move forward in life after all. It's just an honor to share it. But thank you for having me here.
Oh, we're honored to have you with us. You know, it is a difficult topic to talk about, and can be uncomfortable and sometimes make people feel, I think an appropriate word would be squinchy. But, you know, we need to shed light on it. You know, it needs to be discussed, and we're real happy that we've got you on. And just from doing the research that we did leading up to the show, you know, the stuff that you're involved in, I think is just absolutely great, you know, and we're going to get into that with our questions. But our first question for you is, where does your mental health journey begin?
Well, my mental health journey basically started, I guess when I talk about my mental health journey, I talk about my healing journey. I started 8 years ago when I came to the house, to the gatehouse, that is. And from there, it's been a really roller coaster of a ride all the way through my journey to where I am today. Lots of downs and lots of ups and in-betweens, and it's made this journey rather interesting, because it's given me so many opportunities along the path as well in making connection with others. So that's kind of where it's brought me today.
Okay. How supportive have friends and family been during this journey?
Well, the thing is, though, I shouldn't say that I don't have any support. I do have a daughter, and I have a couple of granddaughters. As far as my family is concerned, my daughter is really the only one that really knows about what happened with my experience. As far as my immediate family, well, this is going to sound really horrible, but everybody has passed on. I had a younger brother who committed suicide, all related to what I'm talking about today. This was many, many, many years ago. My mother, unfortunately, she has passed away, and I'm estranged from my father. So I'm really pretty much on my own, and I do have a partner. Thank heavens for that, but I'm pretty much on my own.
Okay. I gotta stop for a second, and this is completely unrelated, but I gotta say it, otherwise it won't change it. I'm experiencing a deja vu moment right now.
Okay.
I dreamt us having this conversation with you, Stuart, a couple weeks ago, and it just now hit me. It's weird. It happens from time to time, and it's really weird. And sorry that I had to stop it, but it went sideways in my head. And if I don't say anything about it, it'll go sideways. So I don't want it to go sideways. So I have to mention it.
I really appreciate you saying that, because I do the same thing myself. I deja vu from time to time, as long as I've given myself enough rest and I'm not too stressed, it happens to me. So I really relate to what you're talking about. And thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like a goofball for interrupting, you know, something very poignant that you were saying for my ridiculousness. But,
I'm glad you're here with me.
Thanks.
We're all used to your ridiculousness now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd hope 2+ years on that people would be used to my ridiculousness. So I do feel badly about the losses that you've experienced.
Yeah, it's not that far removed from what I've gone through, actually,
yeah,
over the last several years. So, you know, I lost my mom, a brother, then my dad, and another brother. I had 4 altogether, so I'm down to 2 now, and we are estranged.
Yeah.
So I can feel for you for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a heavy load as well. I could, thanks for sharing that, Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's tough trying to find ways to pick up the pieces and, you know, move on when you have situations like that with family. But, you know, at least you've got the support of your daughter.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, and forgive me, you know, it's not like I don't have other support. I have support through social media. I have support through the Gatehouse. I have other forms of support. So, you know, I should have mentioned that too along that path. I do have support. It's just not immediate family. That's all. I mean, other than my daughter.
Right.
And I'm really, really grateful for all the support that I do have out there. And thank heavens for social media, because that's been really been a big arm of my social media, or rather a big arm of my connection and healing through all these years. So it's and connections there have really helped me.
Yeah, you and I, we met on Twitter, and the mental health community on Twitter is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, without them, I don't think we'd be able to do our show. You know, I can't say enough about the people that I've met over the last few years. And the support that they offer, and they're always supportive. You know, there's never a time when you go on there and absolutely nobody reaches out to you. There's always somebody that's ready to reach out and support you as best as they can.
Yeah, it's a great community. You know, if you're having a tough day and you mention something, excuse me, out of nowhere, you'll get just, hey, hang in there, or some other great message from any number of people. So, yeah, the social media community is just just amazing. So we are grateful to all of you.
Yeah, it's really funny too, because the social media, you know, I've always had really, really huge trust issues. I'm sure other people can appreciate this as well. You know, I kind of go in there as an alias, but not really. I'm quite open and say who I am. You know, not just my name, Unforgiven Warrior, but my name, Stuart Thompson. And I'm very, very open about that, who I am, and not afraid to say. But I'm just amazed how people go out of their way to help you, and they don't know you, and they're taking chances that they might. Some people are, you know, don't want to be found who they are, and yet they still reach out and take that chance and embrace whatever connection they can get in regards to, you know, what they're going through, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah,
definitely,
absolutely. You know, that's the thing is, once you, and I think we've done a really good job of weeding out, you know, trolls and whatnot. So now everybody that we have communication with, it's all very altruistic, and, you know, we're all there to support each other, which is, it's a community in a true sense of the word, you know, and that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, and it's not only about weeding out the bad seeds per se. It's it's about, and I've talked about this quite a bit recently, but it's sort of about reaching a maturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and where you can respect the fact that somebody has a different viewpoint that's, you know, not the same as yours. You don't need to engage and get into an argument and just, I mean, because I don't do politics. I don't do politics or religion. And sometimes that kind of stuff comes up and I'm just able to let it go. You know, I don't focus on it. I don't try to argue with the person. I just let it go. And, you know, I think that's something that we all have to learn how to do to kind of keep the peace, so to speak, in the mental health community, because there are still people that are getting bullied by others, and you know, we just really need to get people to the point where they can stand up for themselves, but in an appropriate way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So, Stuart, getting to something that you have briefly mentioned during this discourse, what is the Gatehouse?
Well, the Gatehouse I'll give you a little history of the Gatehouse, and then I'll dive a little bit more into detail exactly what we do in regards to what I talk about. Well, first off, the Gatehouse is a, you know, if you go online, this is thegatehouse.org, and you'll see it's just like a regular house, but it's what's inside and what the place does. So the place opened in 1998, which is be 20 years actually this year that it's been around in the community of Toronto or Lakeshore Etobicoke area of Toronto. It was founded by a person by the name of Art Lockhart, who originally, I can give you a brief history of Art, but if you go to our website, you can find out a much greater detail to what I'm going to give you right now. But but Art was in the Justice Department for many, many years, and now through his course of actions dealing with people that have been incarcerated, led him to all kinds of different things, and meaning such as talk going on the street and talking with people and talking with homeless people and understanding, you know, what's going on with them, what are their mental issues, as an example. And the Gatehouse, well, like I say, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it really, really short. One day he was just driving. Actually, he was homeless, I should say, at this time. He was homeless. And he was with his girlfriend or wife now at this time. And he drove up by this house. If you see the picture on our website, you'll see. And the place was dilapidated, and it was just basically used for drug users. And the place was all boarded up. And funny where the house is located, because it's located, like I said, it's down the lakeshore, which is basically Lake Ontario. If you go onto a global map or a map of the northern part of the U.S. and lower part of Canada, you'll see Lake Ontario. And right by the lake, it's a beautiful, beautiful location. And the house is situated on a college campus, which the college campus is probably is about 150 years old. And
wow.
It's beautiful, beautiful buildings. And you wouldn't think this place would be, you know, a place for mental health. And the funny thing about it is too, if with the history of the house and the college is, the place originally 150 years ago was a mental institution. So in the last, I guess it would be the last 30 years, I stand corrected on my time here, but the university, rather the mental institution was shut down for many, many years, and then the province bought it, and then they turned it into a college. And then the Gatehouse was kind of the last thing that was kind of done on the campus 20 years ago, as I've stated. But Art Lockhart, the gentleman I'm talking about, he is also a professor at the college as well. He teaches social justice. And luckily for me, in times, I'll leave that part and I'll come back to that. But Art Lockhart is a professor at the college as well, and he teaches social justice. And dealing with people with trauma is just part of the process, or rather what they teach at the college. There's many different aspects of it in regards to social justice, everything from the teachings of becoming a police officer to becoming a social worker, dementia addiction, and addiction specialist. You know, it stems off to many, many different fields. But anyway, the Gatehouse is a place for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. It's all peer support-based, and it has been right from the beginning. The Gatehouse relies purely on grants and private donations to run. So basically, whoever's come into this house, as long as I've been here, and even prior to me coming in here, there's never been a charge for somebody coming in. And which is really, really helpful, because a lot of cases, some people don't have money, and you know, due to whatever reasons that might be, and that's all right. So the idea is to make this a friendly place. You can come in, no judgment, we have nobody. Everything is the programs here are CBT based. or cognitive behavioral therapy. And they're all designed by clinicians and therapists of different sorts in the beginning. And throughout the years, obviously, mental health has improved. And so basically, we've kept up to date with that as well. And our peer support strategies on how to talk with people and to help them help themselves along the process.
That's great.
Yeah, you and we're really familiar with Ontario. We're in Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no, sorry. Oh, you're just across the border.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're just a stone's throw, so
yeah.
Unfortunately, now you have to have a passport to get there. But
yeah,
well, we're gonna rectify that with our next driver's license that we both have to get renewed this year. We're just gonna get enhanced licenses so we can finally get back over there.
Because it used to be a regular thing going over to Ontario. You know,
yeah,
my father used to. Sorry, it's okay. My father used to take us camping over there, and we went, you know, once a summer and had an absolute blast. I always loved being in Canada. We went there for our
third anniversary.
Third anniversary.
Yeah,
too.
Our
we
third anniversary.
Over.
We actually drove out to Toronto, went to the zoo. You guys have an awesome zoo. and we loved it, you know. Our feeling back then, and I still feel kind of the same way, is – you know, the American dream is alive and well, and it's in Canada. So, you know, it's just things seem a lot more, you know, ideal.
Idyllic?
There. Idyllic, yeah.
You know, and I can kind of relate, you know, me going south, and that's what I loved about driving through Detroit. Because I used to, for many, many years, I used to go down to the Chicago Blues Festival, because it's not a far drive at all from here. And not only that, but I used to go down, and my daughter is an avid yacht person. And so she used to come in on the tall ship. So I used to go down and meet her there, and also New York City, Boston, and then some of the, of course, in Toronto as well, Montreal, many of the big cities throughout this part of the West. And it was always lovely driving down there. I love Chicago, and I like Detroit too. I haven't been to Detroit in a long time. The last time I went to Detroit was for a hockey game. That was probably 20 years ago.
It's improved. You should, if you get a chance, take a ride down, you know, maybe come down and check out the Wings and Leafs, next time, maybe not next time they play, but you know, whenever they have a game here, cause they've got a new arena. The arena is beautiful. And all the stuff they've done downtown is just, it's amazing to the point of being shocking.
Yeah, it's like I don't even recognize it when we go down there. It's,
sure, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's beautiful what they've done. I mean, there's still places that are really rough around the edges. Don't get me wrong, but you can tell
everywhere's like that.
Yeah. You can tell that things are changing for the better down there and have been for easily the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, we just went a few weeks back. We went to go see figure skating there. So they had a competition, and then we went to the, you know, exhibition extravaganza thing where they all, you know, participate in different dances and things like that. And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. So.
Yeah, it was great. So, we had our seats were the equivalent of center ice.
Yeah.
So that was really, really nice. I'd love to see a hockey game there sometime.
All right. Well
that's
we
enough
digress.
Of that. Yeah, but we digress. So,
what types of programs are offered at Gatehouse, and which ones are you involved in?
Well, we offer many, many different programs, and as I've stated, it's all peer support programs. Now, when I originally came here 8 years ago, I did a men's program, and we offer this program to the women as well. So basically what this program consists of is a 15-week program, and what we do is we have a men's program and a women's program. We keep them separate for the first time coming in for the first 15 weeks, and what the program consists of, I'll tell you what I went through, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the other programs. Is that all right? Just so it's easier to understand. The men phase one program that I'm talking about, which both men and women do as well, is the 15-week program. And if I can, I'm just going to lightly touch what the topics we cover over that period of time. It only takes me a second, then we could talk about more later on if you wish. But and then I'll also include the programs that I'm involved with as well. So, for example, like when we come in the very first week, what we do is we cover the initial steps of the program, which I'm going to talk about now, and we cover house rules. But the very then the second week we come in, we reinforce boundaries and that sort of thing for when you're in a group, because people are sensitive towards sort of things, and we need to be respectful for one another. And the great thing about peer support, and one thing we need to consider also when doing peer support, is that if someone's talking, we need to let them finish talking what they're talking, everybody having their turns, and being mindful of the other person. And also, resolve, very, very important, too, in the peer support setting, is that we don't draw judgment upon the other person talking, and we give them their space so they feel safe. But the second week, we talk about isolation to belonging. That's another topic we talk about. We also talk about triggers, dissociation, flashbacks, grounding. And then we sliding on to another week, we'll talk about anger, emotional regulation. We even dive into inner child. Actually, we have 3 weeks of inner child. We talk about about the inner child. It is such a very, well, for some, it could be a very, very tough thing to do. Not only the process, we take them through everything from the meditation to the writing exercise that along with it. So it's a very, very intense 3 weeks dealing with the inner child. And then after we've dealt with that, now I'm into week 10, and we're talking about boundaries, which is kind of what we kind of talk about even from the beginning, and they just don't, I think participants don't even realize it, because I know for myself speaking, I didn't have any boundaries when I came here, so I soon learned after about boundaries, more importantly towards myself, and then, of course, towards others. Week 11, we talk about shame and guilt. It's another thing that we, as survivors of childhood sexual abuse, deal with quite extensively and quite heavily, a lot of us, is about shaming guilt. And again, that's a very, very deep topic. And sometimes what happens to some of these subjects the things we're talking about is what ends up happening is towards the end of the term of the 15 weeks, we'll go back and we'll dive and we'll talk about some of those things at a more in-depth level, depending on the group and how it affected them. And they just may need to talk a little bit more about it, which we're quite open to. So flexibility is really, really important. Although these are structured, we have to incorporate flexibility into our conversation and how it could change as people are different and people think differently. So we need to be very mindful of those things along the path as well. Week 12, resiliency and sacred path. And what resiliency and sacred path is about, after we've talked about all the stuff that we've never wanted to talk about, we talk about moving forward and about rediscovering yourself. And yes, in this course of the 15 weeks, or even the 12, 13 weeks that we've talked about already so far, we've dived into some really, really heavy things about stuff that we've never, well, some of us, I can't speak for everybody, but for some of us, mainly including myself, that I've never really talked about. And if I had talked about it, I really didn't understand how it affected me and to what level or degree, and that's something I need to sort out. And with the boundaries, with the resiliency and sacred path that I'm talking about, well, that's kind of preparing us for the next level, which would be the phase 2, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we also talk about sexuality as well. A lot of times what happens to survivors, and again, I can relate to this as well because this was my experiences with my sexuality, being abused from both sides. What I mean by both sides is I was abused both by men and by women, and in that course of action that happened to me left me very, very confused. So this topic of sexuality is so, so important, because I know in one period of my life I wasn't sure whether I was gay or whether I was heterosexual. So this topic, although I did figure that out a long time ago, obviously I'm a parent and that sort of thing, but even then that doesn't really make any difference nowadays, because you can still be a parent and still be gay or bisexual, or whatever sexual orientation you choose to discover or be part of. But we talk about that in grade level as well, and it's really, really nice to be able to come into a place and not have that judgment. You can talk about it quite openly and not fear judgment from others. And we've frowned quite on that quite harshly. We really don't incorporate that into our groups. And if we find that it is there, whether it be bigotry towards your nationality or your sexual orientation, then we nip it right in the bud right away. And, you know, of course, we're very diplomatic about it, and we believe that everyone should have a voice, and everyone, you know, should have the help that they desire. But at the same time, sometimes we need to make adjustments so that the individuals can, you know, so we can accommodate that. So we have many different ways we can go on regarding finding help for that person, even if we can't help them. So there's many doors, even if we do seem like we're closing a door on a person, we're not really, but we help them by giving them help from other ways if we find we can't help them. Now, like I say, the last few weeks are basically just open discussions for the topics that I've talked about in the first phase of the program. And again, like I'm stating, this is program that I'm talking about, the phase one program, is for both for men and for women. And the last few weeks, we just cover stuff that we want to talk about more, and we even have a potluck and celebration after we're done.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's kind of the first. That's what kind of gets you in here and gets you going on to the other stuff.
Okay.
And any thoughts to what I've already? Any questions to what I've said so far, or should I just continue?
excuse me. No, it sounds like a very comprehensive program. You know, you mentioned that you've got the phase one for both the men and for the women. Is there a point at which the men and women come together as one group, or is it kept separate? Oh, okay, cool.
It does. And actually, I'm trying to dive into that, and I'm really, really happy too, because I'm also I'm really, really happy to announce this as well. Now, this what we've just started doing. We just started our very first program. We have a phase one where we've incorporated the men with the women. Obviously, both sides have to be in agreement with this, because it will never work. Considering that both sides have, we need to consider too that both sides have never really worked on their stuff and may have issues with either party. So for the very first time after all these years, we're doing a very, very first time phase one where we've incorporated, where it's co-ed. And I'm quite excited to hear over the next weeks how that's going to go and take shape. And I know from my experience, which I'm going to be talking about pretty much right now, is about the phase two program, which it is a co-ed program, and where we have both sides, and which was very, very important for my healing journey as well. And I love talking about it as well. And the phase two program I'm talking about now, is well, you know, remember when I was talking about the phase one program, I talked about resiliency and sacred path. Well, now we're really going to be diving into that now in the phase two program. And again, now what we've done, this is a 16-week program, not a 15-week program, by the way. So it is quite long as well. But when you're dealing with this stuff, and when I think about it anyway, I figure, well, hell, I've dealt with it all my life, and what's 16 weeks now of my life to deal with something I've been dealing with all my life and wanting to make things better for myself. So 16 weeks for some may seem a little bit long, but you know what? Most of the time I hear from people, when they do this 16 weeks, they wish they had another 15 weeks because they weren't done. They want to do work on it some more. So it's a beautiful program because we talk about some really different things than we're used to, than I was used to anyway. What I mean by that, we really focus on mindfulness. And again, this is where CBT comes into effect, right? We talk about mindfulness. We talk about gratitude. We talk about pause. And we talk about sacred path. Well, sacred path, we use that term sacred as being, she's telling me like I can't even talk anymore. I'm talking about pause. Pause means paying attention, paying attention, unrevealed.
Unveiled
sacred experiences. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm getting lost in my own words here, for heaven's sakes. But but we use that all the time as a reminder that this is our experience and this is what we're going through. I mean, obviously, everybody's experiences are going to be different, and obviously, there's going to be a lot of people going, I've been through that, and I've been through this. But we really focus on the now, and we try to, you know, get out of our past and really focus on the now. So mindfulness is really, really key to what we talk about through the 16 weeks. And we also really encourage journaling, which we do in the phase one program as well, which I never mentioned, but we really focus on journaling and self-reflection
and also them, the participants writing their stories. And then if they really want to, then they can share them with the group. And, you know, and that, again, like, that's something about social media I love about that as well now, is that there's tons of people out there that are doing blogs and want stories like this of your healing journey and your story. So it's not like people don't want to hear it now. There's people who do want to hear it. It's just a question of, you know, if you feel brave enough that you want to do that and make yourself, well, I'm going to use this word now, which I haven't used yet now, you make yourself really, really vulnerable to, you know, leaving yourself open. And that's about, you know, that's a big part of this healing process too, is really one of the biggest parts is obviously about being vulnerable. And for some it's easy and some it's not. I know when I came in here the first time, I was just so tired of holding my secret for all these years, almost 50 years. And I just, you know, I didn't trust men. I didn't trust anybody. But yet I came into this room and I'm sitting with a group of men that have never, you know, pretty much saying the same thing I'm saying right here, right now. And, you know, everybody's just letting it go. And it's just a immense, like, it's like being in boot camp and having to carry 100 pounds of dead weight on your back for 10 kilometers. And then you still got to swim 5 kilometers to get back to base just so you can be done for the day. And getting that off your shoulders, right?
So right.
These experiences through the 15 weeks can be quite, well, for me, it was very, very, well, I'll put it this way, it really helped me in my journey in finding out who I was. All the things I talked about in the phase one, you know, we really don't talk a whole lot about it in the phase two because we're trying to move on, but all that stuff just still resonates. And some of those things I talked about, well, for myself, for example, like I had, you know, little forms of stuckness here and there. So I needed a little bit extra work on myself, that is, to help mm-hmm. get me past those points of, you know, to help me with my guilt and my shame, for example, you know, giving me, trying to find some sort of self-worth when I've never believed I had any self-worth. Now, those are really hard things to kind of just dig up just because somebody pointed out to you and says, well, you know, you've been, you know, lying to yourself all these years. I mean, forgive me, that sounds kind of harsh, but that's kind of what it is. I've just been bullshitting yeah. myself all these years. But then again, I'm looking at it from my view and not somebody else's view. And, you know, believing what I believed was what I was taught to believe. So if I was entrenched in that thought for all those years, and I, like myself and others, just because somebody talks about it doesn't mean we're going to change that quickly. You know, some may, you know, some may focus and get it sooner and not have to work as long, and some have to work a little bit harder. And I was just one of those people that worked a little bit harder, wanting just for change. And, you know, here I am talking about it today, but it trust me, it wasn't an easy journey. And some days it's still not an easy journey, but the beautiful thing it gave me with, through those programs is it gave me a greater sense of self-awareness for my, you know, my unforgivings, as they say.
Right.
It helped me. Help me along the path.
Yeah,
so
it can be.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it can be difficult trying to tear down those protective feelings. You know, you've worked so many years hiding this thing that you're dealing with, and just, you know, rip down those walls and be vulnerable, especially with a bunch of people you don't know. That can be intimidating, but. You know, it sounds like the program that you have going on over there is a welcoming, warm kind of situation, and that's so important. You know, and it sounds like you guys are doing great work over there.
Oh, absolutely! The programs they've got developed here are just totally, totally awesome. And you know, we you know, like I gave you the first two programs, and I think which are probably the hardest ones overall.
Mm-hmm.
The first one obviously being the hardest because for most of us that have come in here, we've never dealt with this sort of thing to any degree. And I know I meet some that do come in and have dealt with it in the past and have had different experiences. So, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, people have different experiences. And I've met people who have gone and done other things to try to help themselves. And either they've had marginal success or no success or just wanted to try something new because they want to move even further and don't know how to go about it. So
right.
The whole thing about coming in here is that, you know, we don't really tell anybody what to do. It's all peer support. We give an outline, which we show and help them with, and it's up really up to them, as it was like with myself, to either do the work And if you don't do the work, then you basically stay where you are or whatever the outcome may be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a cakewalk, as they would say. It involves a lot of commitment on the individual's part to come in here, wanting to make the changes in their life to move forward. But if you don't have that drive, then you're going to just stay stuck, as I pointed out earlier, and that will take a lot longer for you to get out of that hump, as they would say.
Yeah, that's one thing that we've always stressed too is, you know, you can recover, you can learn to live with what you've been through, but you have to do the work, regardless of what it is that you're confronted with, be it childhood sexual abuse or battling bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder or, you know, some form of addiction.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you can help yourself, you can benefit, but you have to put the work in. You know, that's a key thing. People will be there to help you, and they'll show you what you can do, what I'm not going to say what you should do, because everybody's experience is different. You know that with your journey. But what you can do and how to apply things in your life, but you still have to take that step and apply it, you know? And if you're unwilling to try, you're not going to see any type of change in your life, you know? Plus you don't know what's going to work and what isn't going to work for you until you take that first step, you know? With Beck and I, you know, the word journey is very central to us. I've thought about this. And I don't think I ever mentioned this to you, babe, but I've thought about this over the past couple of years. The word journey really is this, it's an individual thing, you know, and everybody has this step that they go on, and you know, your path to recovering or finding peace or getting some type of respite always begins with the first step in your journey, you know, and we all have a different journey. And that's why we ask all of our guests, you know, where their journey begins, because it's always different and it always, you know, has
a name of my book too.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, and that's a big thing too, is, you know, it was your journey, not anybody else's.
Yeah. Just to clarify, my book is called It's Not Your Journey.
Yeah.
In case anyone is wondering what we're talking about here.
Exactly. So, you know, being able to embrace these people as they come into the program to help them with that first step on their journey towards a path of healing, you know, that's got to be a great feeling. It's got to be a rewarding feeling for you being able to be involved like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, It is, and you know, it's really funny you say that. You know, and I often hear other facilitators in the house as well, the ones that've been here for a while, like myself. And you know, I be honest with you, I really don't really take a whole. I'm really, really grateful to be able to have that, to be able to sit in that seat and to be able to hear their stories and to watch them. I mean, that is really, really, you know, it almost brings a tear to my eye sometimes, because when I look at myself when I came in here. I was such a train wreck, and I looked and see how hard I worked just to get out of that hole. And then when I come in and I do group, have a group, and I see them do the same thing, and I see my own journey, and I've seen it now countless times. I have no idea how many times now. It's just incredible. And you know, I try to find words to describe it, and even to write it down sometimes. And I really, really struggle, other than the fact that I'm just. It's just plain simple. I'm just grateful just to be part of it and to be able to sit there, because I'm just lost for words. I really am. It's just awe for me every time I come in there and I see people change like that over a course of, you know, 13, even 6 weeks. I start to see people change, you know, in their belief in towards themselves, and you know, which is more important, of course, than others. But I mean, you see them change their beliefs in themselves. You know, I start to find a glimmer of hope. You know, you see them start to see that they have actually some self-worth. They're actually, you know, they're a human being. And to me, that's really, really humbling to watch. And when I say, I talk about I have a hard time finding words to describe this, I really, 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 I do. just beautiful to see. And I see this time and time again. And it's very, very humbling for me. I guess that's really the best way to answer that. It's just very humbling for me. And considering my own experience, and even I'm still struggling from stuff too, because I sure as hell am not healed and never perfect that I am. I have stuff I'm working on, and I probably will be for the rest of my life. Having complex PTSD is a bit of a kicker for me sometimes. So I really need to be mindful and paying attention to what I'm doing along the way. And if I'm not careful, I'll trigger myself and I'll put myself back on a, put myself in a place where I don't want to be. So the tools that I've learned here help me with that so much, more so than my experience with a therapist. So my just being able to talk about and sharing my experiences have been really, really helpful for me, as I've seen for others. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. one other thing that we discovered as we were going through our research on you, good sir, is you also host a web radio show called Personal Transformation. What do you feature on your show, and where can people tune in to check that out?
Well, I've been doing this now actually for 5 years in May. I just did my 164th show on, I did it late Thursday night. Normally for years I've been doing this, for the time that I've been doing this, I try to do it on Thursdays, and I try to do it live at the Gatehouse. But the last couple of months, weather's been really strange up here, too much snow, bad weather. I have not been healthy, so I've been kind of been doing it off and on. But I focus on giving support to other survivors. I'm not there. I'll get therapists to come on, and when we talk about ways of dealing with the stuff that I've kind of been covering already. But I'm basically just to support other survivors of childhood sexual abuse. I share my own healing journey, and I often get guests. I've had everybody on from people from justice to teachers to therapists, even musicians, survivors that have come on and shared their story. And it's basically a platform for survivors to come on, which I quite often have come on, and they want to share their healing journey and their story. I just think it's fantastic that I've been able to give this to others, that they've been able to come on and do this and share that sort of thing. Now, I know over the years a lot has changed. I know I've gone, even looking at Blog Talk Radio, there is other supporters of this out there that are doing the exact same thing I'm talking about. Years ago there wasn't, but there is now, which is really, really awesome to see, like especially in California. And I can't think of the name of the Blog Talk show that does it, but I remember seeing one, and they support survivors. Very, very similar to what I'm doing. I call it personal transformation only because this has been my personal transformation, and I'm sharing it here with the world. So I figured what better title than to call it that. And I was also very lucky I've also got a blog site as well, which I haven't been very, very active at all. We kind of just opened it up and kind of been sitting there on the side, but it's called personaltransformation.ca.
Okay.
And I don't talk about it enough, and I don't put it out there enough, but I was going to mention at the end of the show that if anybody wanting to post their story or healing journey on our blog, we're quite welcome to that as well. So you could just send it in. To me at the Gatehouse, which is Stuart at thegatehouse.org, or on to the personal transformation Blog Talk Radio Show website. I can do it on there as well. But that invitation is always there. But I'm really, really fortunate to be able to do that. I've connected with so many people around the world. It's wonderful to be able to get out there. I mean, I'm thinking I would love to have my own radio station, like a AM or FM radio station, but I would only get local. This way I get the world, like you guys are out there in the world, people here from all over the place. What better connection can you get than that?
Exactly. And that's one thing that we're really grateful about is that, we're on this wonderful network that Scott has, and we're on Blog Talk like you are, and anybody all over the world can tune in and check out this show or any other show at any time, and that's a blessing. It really is. I went to school for broadcasting 20 some odd years ago, and never thought that doing that would get me to where I'm hosting a show with my wife and making an impact on people's lives, and And that's such an awesome feeling, knowing that, you know, we're bringing attention to, you know, people like you that are helping others, and, you know, it's just a great feeling. So
every guest we have, we learn something from, and we're pretty sure that our listeners learn something from them as well. And that's just really important for us. That's one of the big reasons why we do this show,
mm-hmm.
is for people to possibly learn more coping skills, or, you know, just ways of moving forward despite what they've been through.
Or finding out that they're not alone.
Right.
Or finding other resources, things that they hadn't, you know, previously been aware of. You know, just different things like that, you know, and it's great. It's special, you know, and we treasure everybody that tunes in and listens to us, and we treasure everybody that takes time out of their lives to come on our show.
Absolutely.
What advice do you have for someone who is an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse who might not know where to turn for help?
Well, I'm going to kind of give myself as a bit of an example, because I'm not here to tell anybody what to do, but I can give a subtle advice. And right off the hop, that is, well, I don't know, I had to seek advice, right? And I think that mm-hmm. was probably the hardest part for me, was trying to find advice rather than find help. Now, I guess, obviously, depending where you live, your demographics, obviously, what country, and even whether you're being Canada or the U.S., as, for example, since we're right here, each state, every province is different in regards to what their mental health offers in regards to supporting you and what your needs are. So I would tell anybody wanting to get help, whether it be youth or adult, or even senior, in fact, because everybody should be included in this, is that I would do in your local community, I would just look around, and with the internet nowadays, well, that's a really good way to start looking to see what's available, and just to see what's available, and then kind of go from there. But, you know, understanding what your needs are, too, are really, really important. A lot of people, like myself, I didn't really understand what my needs were when I came looking for help. I knew I needed help. I knew I was messed up. I really didn't even know where to start. And one of the things I've learned in the process of this is, if I had known what my needs were when I started, what I needed, that was really, really important. Now, in hindsight, really, logically speaking, a lot of people in distress are really not going to be thinking about their needs, really, at the time. They're only going to be thinking about they're in distress, and where do I go for help? Really, logically thinking, I would think that would be a more realistic way of how it would really be. But if you have the capacity and you're able to take the time for yourself, knowing that you need help, really do your research. Knowing what's available and what you know, understanding, you know, what your needs are. It's just that simple. But really doing your research in your area where you live and seeing what's available, and looking also, when you're looking and you see this agency or clinical place, that look for referrals and that sort of thing to make sure that they're not bad, or, you know, bad in ways that they get bad interactions with people. I don't know, just check to make sure they're safe places, what I'm getting at, that they're good. And because, you know, I've heard many stories where people have gone for help and they're either their therapist or the peer support they've received has been a load of hogwash, as they say.
Right. Yeah.
And in other words, what they advertised was not what they gave. So do your research on who you're dealing with prior to going to do that. I know even myself, when I found the Gatehouse, strangely enough, I didn't find it on the internet 8 years ago. Well, I rather did after the fact, but I found a place out of Calgary, Alberta. And this place is called Little Wings. And what they do is they support, for example, they support agencies, schools, and they talk about inappropriate touching. They teach inappropriate touching. So they referred me to the Gatehouse. That's how I found the Gatehouse.
Okay.
And here I am biting my own words, because I did not do a check or nothing. I just took a gamble and went to it because I was not in that state of mind. Being aware of what was good for me, what wasn't bad for me. So that's why when somebody asked me what would I recommend, Well, if you're able to, do some research and then know who you're going to be with and make sure that you're going to be comfortable with that, because if not, it could be a disaster. And you could put you back even further back.
Yeah.
Well, we're actually getting to the end of the show here. It's gone by really quickly.
Yeah.
So we would just like for you to talk a little bit about your social media, where people can find you online.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's right. Yeah, the time has gone by. Oh, my gosh. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first off, The Gatehouse. The Gatehouse, if you go to www.thegatehouse.org, you can find me on there as well. My face is kind of posted off here and there all throughout our page. And on that page, you will find a host of resources, not just here in Canada, but there is some international resources there as well through Gatehouse International, as we are international in a sense that we offer resources to anybody throughout the world. Our manuals are in there that anybody can go in there and download at no cost whatsoever. Although if you do require us to send it to you by mail and that sort of stuff, then of course we'll have to recover the cost in that. But you can go online and you can download any one of our programs that are available. And I didn't really cover all the other programs that are out there, but you know, we've got art therapy here. We've got grief writing workshops. We've got we're going to be starting to do yoga therapy as well coming up very, very soon. We have an assist program, which we talked as well. So we do a lot of things, and we have a lot of resources. But you can get most of that from our webpage, which is thegatehouse.org. You can find me also on Twitter as GotToGetOutOfUnforgiven. Again, my name is Stuart Thompson. I'm quite open about that, who I am, even though that's my fictitious name on Twitter. But on my Twitter page, or main page, you will find the Gatehouse link there as well. The Blog Talk Radio, again, you can link that through our Gatehouse website. And whenever I post, I'm doing a show. For example, I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman next Saturday. I won't be broadcasting at the same time you guys are, but I'll release it on Wednesday. But I'm interviewing a gentleman from the Toronto Star. And lucky for me, I shouldn't say lucky for me, but rather fortunate for me, in this case, the Toronto Star reporter that's coming to be interviewed, that I'm interviewing, is not only a survivor, but he's a reporter. So. And even the same newspaper, without getting into the long story, they did an interview with me last year through about justice. So I was able to be did an interview with them, and it was fantastic, which I won't get into right now. But nevertheless, I'll do my interview next Saturday. But anyway, for getting a hold of us, like I pointed out, the Gatehouse website is the best way to get a hold of me. If you would like to put in a blog post of your story, your healing journey, you can contact me through get a hold of me either through the Gatehouse at stuart@thegatehouse.org. It'll come right to me. Or you can DM me on Twitter if you like, and we can make connection, and then we can talk about it for sure. And what am I forgetting here? Am I forgetting anything? No? No, I hope not. I hope I haven't forgotten anything. There's so much. Oh, my gosh. Seems like it anyway, but I wish we would have had a little more time, because we have some really interesting other programs as well we offer, but that's why I insist people go onto our website, and for what I have not covered, you can find on there.
Well, it sounds awesome. You know,
yeah.
You guys are doing a lot of great work, and, you know, we're grateful to you for taking the time to be with us today, and stay on the line there, Stuart. We're going to be ending out the show with Jane Knight and I Know How You Love Me. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everybody.
us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.